The first thing I would like you to do, Lockie, because you are not here in the room with me, for me to show you a picture like I normally would.
Yeah.
Can you Google the DualSense for me for the PS5? Have you seen this pop up at all in the news this week?
No, I haven't. So this is all fresh to me. Although it's going to take me a little while because I've moved my computer station upstairs and it's just all... I've plugged it into an old shitty monitor from a computer I used like fucking 10 years ago. And it's just, it all looks terrible. I'm worried if I'm damaged my graphics card.
Shit.
Okay.
I feel guilty for asking you to move it now.
Oh, well, no, it's important for the show. It's important that the people listening to the show can hear me not sound like I'm in a fucking cave. So hopefully this will be a little bit better, although it's still not as good as your room. Your room has the perfect sort of acoustics for recording.
I don't know why I got super lucky with my room. I guess because it's carpeted and I've just got a lot of crap. For some reason the sound doesn't bounce around too much in here. Yeah, so for anyone who was wondering why Lockie sounded a little bit different over the last couple of weeks, is because he's recording out his homestead, and the room that he was in is basically, yes, a cave.
Yeah.
And the sound would echo and bounce ridiculously. if you were a bat, you would find your way around there fucking perfectly.
It's a great room to play games in, not good for recording. You need small enclosed, you need to hide yourself away from the world when you do a recording. All right, so I'm looking at the DualSense. So this is the new controller for the PlayStation 5. Looks fucking awful. Oh,
okay,
my God.
Yeah, that's precisely why I wanted to get your opinion on this, because the general consensus that people have had is they do not like the fucking look of it at all.
What the
fuck? Look, I got to say, I'm not a big fan of white consoles and accessories in general.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the Wii was one of the more worst looking out of different consoles. If I had to pick ones aesthetically, I don't think it was they'd always get covered in dust and end up looking filthy. And
it was just a fucking remote. And unless you plugged in that rumble thing, and then it was just this really long stick. Yeah, but yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Wii.
As well,
it reminds me a little bit of the Wii, and that's not a good thing, because the Wii, as you say, is not something that you want to sort of bring back.
Well, what a lot of people are saying, I can see it a little bit. It looks like a little bit of a mashup between a Xbox controller and a PS4 controller. But in that, I think it's just more of a beefy PS4 controller, really. It's a little bit taller, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm just not a fan of the two-tone white look. Maybe if it was a different color, I might not mind it.
So it looks like the Pro controller for the Nintendo Switch, which is also, which is also closer to the Xbox controller than the PlayStation controller. But the Pro controller it reminds me of the Pro controller the most, because you probably haven't seen it before, but for Super Smash Ultimate, there was a limited edition Pro controller you could get, and it had like a black and white motif to it with, Super Smash shit on it. So it kind of looked like this already. Actually, I want to see if I can pull that up, because it's kind of uncanny now that I think of it. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate
I've
controller.
Seen a Smash Brothers Pro controller, but it just had it like an overlay from like that sort of image that they use, that sort of graphic that they use throughout the game. But it wasn't white though, it was like grey and black.
Here, I'll show it to you. It kind of does look like it, except they've moved the joysticks to where the where the PlayStation would have the joysticks.
Look, for me personally, I think, call me a Sony pony if you want, call me whatever you want, but I think at the end of the day, the look of the controller isn't that important to me, as nice as it would be to have really cool looking controllers. It's going to come down to how the controller feels and plays and whatnot. Make up my mind on if I like this controller or not. And we don't even know... I don't think PlayStation have really said whether or not this was going to be the standard controller that comes with the PS5. It could possibly maybe be like an elite version of the controller or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so like what Nintendo did.
Yeah, what Nintendo did with the Pro Controller and what Xbox have done with their Elite Controller as well too. So I guess that remains to be seen. I just hope that this design isn't going to be an indicator of what the console is going to look like, because, yeah, I'm just not the biggest fan of the whole white look. And if it's going to be standard white for the PS5, God, I really don't want a white console. I get enough dust on my PS4 as it is.
Yeah, and, being black, that's true.
It doesn't look anywhere near as bad, but I still got to continuously wipe it down.
Yeah, totally. It'll look absolutely filthy in no time for everyone's household. But yeah, did you see the picture that I sent you? Get a side-by-side of these. It's uncanny. They look identical except for where they position the toggles.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is just like the Chode version or something. It's just shorter and fatter.
It's the same. Yeah, it's not perfect in dimensions. I'm not saying it's exact, but yeah, it's pretty much the same except the toggle is where the directional buttons, the toggle and directional buttons on the left side are reversed, and that's it. No other changes are made.
It's going to be really funny, and I'm really curious to see how Sony's going to react to this, because I don't know if you remember, I think we've talked about it really briefly on the show once before, back years ago. I think it was before the PS3 came out. There was this prototype for a PlayStation controller that was super long, and it looked like, and it was sort of joked about. I can't remember if it was officially called the Boomerang Controller, or that was sort of the joke name that was given to it and sort of stuck, but if you search PlayStation Boomerang Controller, you'll be able to find it. And I'm getting sort of feels of the Boomerang coming back again with this controller for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking crazy. Yeah, that would not be comfortable to hold at all. Look at that fucking thing. I mean, with that said, though, around that same time, you had the Nintendo 64 controller, which had three handles, and that never made any goddamn sense. So, you know, everyone was trying something at that time, and it looks like these days controllers more or less have morphed into one single-looking archetype that they've decided is the optimal type, I guess. Based on that, you know, they might bring in something similar to, they'll definitely have them in different colors and shit, so I wouldn't be too worried about the color scheme, because they'll have optional stuff. They had white PS4 controllers as well, so yeah. I mean, I would like to hear more info on the actual PlayStation itself that's supposedly being released this year. That's kind of something that they dropped the ball on. That's a bit more important.
Yeah. I got a feeling that we're going to start seeing that pop out around June, I'd say, around E3 time, even though E3 isn't happening this year. I think around end of May, June time, we're still going to get a big dump of gaming news. These people have shit they want to get out, I guess. But you know what? Good on you, Sony, at least, for trying to do something new and different. Let's see how they react to this. After the Boomerang, they quickly decided not to do it, and that never officially came out. So
yeah,
let's see if they backtread with this one. I don't know.
Good on you, Sony. You've invented the Nintendo Pro Controller. Well done. Big round of applause. Clap, clap, clap. I mean, like, you know, I don't look at this thing and see them innovating in any fucking way. I don't have any problem with it because I like the Pro Controller. But yeah, it's nothing new. It's just uglier. All right.
Alrighty. Well, that's a good fucking hell. That was a long chat for the start, but fuck it, we did it. Alrighty. Yeah. Well,
I'm starved for conversation, man. I'm glad to talk to someone about anything game related. At the moment, it's just talking nonstop about the goddamn coronavirus, you know, or Cardinal Pell getting out. It's, you know, it's nice to talk about something else.
Fuck. All right. Fuck all that shit. Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
I forgot about it for a minute as well, too. All right.
Let's forget about our troubles and talk about games.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews. Your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out every bloody week. My name is Zach, and happy Easter, my good friend and awesome co-host Lockie.
Oh, happy Easter, Zach. It's great to hear from you.
I forgot briefly at the start of this, like while we're recording, that today is actually Easter. I feel like with all this quarantine and COVID shit going on, I'm just losing track of what fucking day it is. What month is it? We're in April, right? I think. Yeah.
Easter. Yeah. It's God. Time is just marching on. I was It's funny. Only a couple of weeks before the corona hit, I was waiting for the summer weather to pass and the heat to go down, and for the snow to come back in Jindabyne and make a trip there. And I hear that it's snowing there now. We can't go. We've got to stay put. World's smallest fiddle in terms of problems. But yeah, I totally feel you in terms of being cooped up.
Yeah, totally. But you know what? I've been cooped up, but I've still got to enjoy myself because I am a gamer and I'm making podcasts. And to do those things, I don't have to leave my fucking room. Thank fuck for that. And last week, I was lucky enough to be able to appear as a guest on the Inconsolables. I had a lot of fun. It was a crazy episode. It was bloody loose, and I recommend checking out their podcast. By the time this comes out, they'll have a new episode. I'll be on the previous one before that. But yeah, check out the Inconsolables. They're bloody awesome, and yeah, shout out to them. Thanks for having me on.
Nice one, Zach. Spreading yourself around like a virus.
That's it, man. I'm the COVID of gaming podcasts. I'm
that's
everywhere.
It. Exactly. That's what we want to hear. Okay.
Oh, shit. Alrighty. Well, with all that being said, let's jump into the motherfucking gaming news. Sticking to the talk about the PS5's DualSense controller, I have some details for you, Lockie, about what exactly will be in this wonderful and exciting looking controller that we talked about at the top of the show. So,
does it? I mean, like, what new is there going to be? Is it going to have a fucking fleshlight in it or something this time around?
Can't you just wait? You're gonna be creaming your pants. All this stuff is so exciting. Okay, so DualSense details. This is a great article. It comes from a site called Pocket Lint and was written by Rick Henderson. Just as a good summary of all the shit that's going to be in there. It has haptic feedback. One new feature added to the DualSense controller is the haptic feedback. Instead of just the plain old rumble pack found in controllers across many generations of gaming, the DualSense will give a player tangible feedback to better immerse him or her in a game. So I think that's just some kind of fancy rumble talk, really, by the sounds of it. But along with that, you have the adaptive triggers. The new controller adopts adaptive triggers for the L2 and R2 buttons. These also introduce content-related feedback and finer controls, such as when you are pulling the trigger of a gun on screen or pulling back a bow to fire off an arrow. And now, to any keen listeners of the show, they'll know we talked about this fucking really early on in the year. There were some leaks and rumors. I think it was, or it might have been around a patent that Sony signed that pretty much stated a lot of this stuff. So that's where you're seeing it. Apparently, it's going to have increased battery life. Bloody no share button anymore. It's been replaced with a new create button. But I believe it probably means the exact same fucking thing. But, you know, because branding or whatever, they've put create on there now. And the last thing is built-in microphones. The DualSense will come with its own microphone array built into the controller. We wonder if this might also be a signal that the console could be compatible with voice assistants such as Alexa or Google Assistant. Maybe even its own voice recognition system, better than the one that Sony has dabbled with before. So, look, none of this really... Look, the adaptive triggers are the only thing that sound like they could be a little bit interesting, but it's nothing really new. Like, Xbox has apparently already had this before. So it's, yeah, I don't know. As I said, once I get the controller in my hands, I'll know whether or not it's a decent controller, but all these features and that, I guess you got to wait to see how they implement them. I can't see any of these really changing gaming or changing the way I game or anything.
Yeah, like I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a controller. You have to... I don't know. Yeah, they're not going to do anything...
stand out to you as something exciting?
They're not going to do... They're not going to chuck a Nintendo and do some funky gimmick around the controller. It's a controller. I think the microphone is a good addition because it means a lot more people will easily be able to team chat in multiplayer games, so that's good. It also means that... governments will have more readily accessible tools to listen to all their citizens. So, you know, that's a win for the government. Probably a loss for human rights. But yeah, other than that, it's a goddamn controller.
Yep, exactly. It's a goddamn controller. But it's funny, the only sort of positive you pointed out there was the sort of voice commands. But you did touch on something that I want to get onto in our next story, which is the more cynical... reasons behind wanting voice commands in your controllers. And, as we know, in the 2020 life, if you have something with a microphone in it, it's probably listening to you all the time. The amount of targeted ads I get that I've just been talking about certain things around people and then all of it's popping up in my Google ads and stuff. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, this is actually a story I missed from back in February. But I brought it up because it's to do with this controller a lot, and it's also to do with some dodgy shit. Sony has a patent that is getting people worried. This article comes out of Push Square and was written by Sammy Barker. There's an illustration from a PlayStation patent that's doing the rounds, which suggests that Sony may be eager to push microtransactions on unsuspecting players. So remember that that illustration that I sent you before there, Lockie? That is about. That is related to this article here. The diagram shows a user conversing with their console in an Alexa-esque scenario. In this example, the device reveals that 80% of players beat a particular boss using a specific type of in-game resource. It then allows you to acquire that item, presumably using either in-game currency or real money via the PlayStation Store. This isn't massively different to the kind of system that exists in current games. You may find a race too difficult in Gran Turismo Sport, for example, so you'll have the option to buy a faster car with either in-game credit or cold hard cash. So you could see, anyone who listens to the show could see why this fucking gets me a bit worried and also pissed off, because it's as per fucking everything, every new piece of technology that could be used to, you know, have better to create better gameplay in games, you know, interesting gameplay implements or any kind of way that it could really improve your experience using it. Of course, there's this awful cynical side where, you know, you're going to be playing a game, you're going to get frustrated, be like, how the fuck do I get past this boss? And then PlayStation's going to be like, other people just gave us $5 and then got this resource and then it was far easier for them. You know, you don't have to do it, but other people did that. And,
it's so fucking dumb. Other people
What
just...
do you think of this, Lockie? Obviously, you can tell from my tone that I'm disgusted.
It's so fucking sad that you're doing shitty in a game, you're dying a couple of times, instead of learning the game mechanics and getting better, you just pay PlayStation to remove that obstacle for you in the game. So you just keep doing that. So, I mean, like, yeah, personally, I feel like it defeats the purpose of playing a game. Yeah,
if you can just pay to have the gameplay for you.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the purpose is in playing the game. But with that said, most games have difficulty settings on them. So, and easy in most games is pretty fucking easy. Like most games that have an easy in it is designed for just people to you know, do the bare minimum and experience the game's sort of story or whatever. So if people are still struggling with that, then yeah, I guess if you have endless resources, you'd like to just pay to... I just don't see a lot of people using this because if people are in that sort of camp where they don't really want to play the game, but they want to watch the game, they'll just fucking YouTube it. YouTubing is so massive. Watching games through YouTube, Let's Plays, it's so huge. I think if this idea came out maybe 10 to 15 years ago before YouTube Let's Plays became big, then yeah, it could have made a ton of money from that target audience. But I think that target audience has already been mostly tapped. You know what I mean? I think they've already got a far more entertaining, free, engaging way of getting the same experience that PlayStation is giving them.
I could see the real, real cynical side of me could see Sony making a Souls-like game, you know, specifically so they can target people with these kinds of microtransactions, you know, because like in generally in Souls, like in the Soulsborne games, you can't buy resources in them. Am I correct? There isn't really microtransactions in the Dark Souls and Bloodborne and whatnot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So could you imagine if there was...
It'd be pretty shitty.
Exactly right. If they made a Souls-like game and they made it enticing enough for people to play, I'd imagine that it wouldn't really fly over well because the kind of people who play those games are hardcore gamers and generally they hate microtransactions. I just don't like the idea.
Absolutely.
At all, and fingers crossed we don't
absolutely
see some of this insidious Black Mirror style psychological microtransaction bullshit come from Sony, because it's the kind of shit that Activision does and it's the reason why I fucking hate them and I don't want to give them any of my fucking money. Well, moving on to something a little more happy in that it's not happy at all. It's the removal of happiness, because something that's made me quite happy over the last few days is playing a little old game called Animal Crossing New Horizons. And look, more on my thoughts on Animal Crossing New Horizons later on in the impressions part of the episode. But for our next story, unfortunately for the people over in...
Sorry, you dropped out for a second there. Did I hear that correctly? Did you just purchase Animal Crossing New Horizons?
More on that when we get to impressions later on in the show.
Fuck, okay,
but for now, unfortunately for people out there in China, Animal Crossing has been banned for them.
You know, Zach, that's very rude. I mean, you just totally ignored my question and then ripped into China. I'll just get past that. Whatever, it's no biggie. So anyway, what's going on in China?
So this article was written by Wesley Yin Poole, the deputy editor over at Eurogamer.net, and it says, China is taking on Animal Crossing New Horizons, blocking its sale on the country's version of eBay. The Chinese authorities have yet to approve the phenomenally popular Nintendo Switch exclusive for official release. So yeah, I should reiterate, it hasn't been banned, it just hasn't been fucking approved at all yet. Yeah, great research there, Zachary. so fans were importing directly from eBay-style websites such as Taobao and Pinduoduo, or buying it digitally by switching their Switch eShop region.
Yeah.
Now, Taobao and Pinduoduo, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly, have pulled the game at the request of the Chinese authorities. But why? According to Daniel Ahmed, a senior analyst at Nico Partners who specializes in the Asian video game industry, this is a tweet from this gentleman here. The games where this policy has been enforced in the past usually fall under two criteria. One, the game has content or user-generated content that is deemed to be offensive or violent. Or two, the game has become very popular and caught the attention of regulators. Now, the way this corresponds to this is, number one, user-generated content in that Animal Crossing New Horizons has been used by Hong Kong protesters and for other politically sensitive user-generated content. The game is extremely popular on social media and everyone knows about it. Under Chinese law, video games can't contain anything that threatens China's national unity, sovereignty, or territorial integrity. They can't harm the nation's reputation, security, or interests. They can't promote cults or superstitions. They can't incite obscenity, drug use, violence, or gambling. Although loot boxes are, of course, fine.
Yeah.
And they can't include anything.
That means all games. Ethics. But that means all games. The violence, like, what?
It means anything they choose, basically. They also can't include any other content that might violate China's constitution or law, whatever that may be, and they have to be published in China by a Chinese company. Even though they've done this, the game is still available there. People can change the regions on their Switch to buy the game digitally, and at some places are selling it under the counter. And the game is still completely playable offline and online as well, too, if people in China can find their way to get their hands on a copy. But yeah, it was definitely it was sad news for me hearing this one, because I think right now with everything going on, Animal Crossing New Horizons is a great escape from reality, you know? Like, it's your happy little island where nothing can harm you, and you don't have to worry about COVID. You don't have to wear a face mask when you interact with all the animals and stuff like that. You don't have to keep your social distance, you know? It is truly lovely. But look, I'm getting ahead of myself. I should be talking about the story here and not the game. I'm disappointed that this is happening, though. I'm not surprised, because there's been a lot of people that you have a lot of a chance to be creative in this game and to be able to place around different items, and people have placed different items to spell out different Hong Kong protest themes and celebrate the Hong Kong protest, as we've spoken about on the podcast. Fucking God, months ago at this point, the long-term Hong Kong protests that have been going on there over sovereignty in Hong Kong. I can't say it's a surprise at all that China is generally very quick to quash any kind of dissent towards them. So something this popular, that's this popular on social media, that you can so easily just share all these Hong Kong stuff. It's not a surprise that they've moved to do something about this.
Yeah, but it... I don't understand why the game... It's not the game's fault. The game doesn't have anything pro or negative any race. It's a game about poorly rendered anthropomorphic humans. No, sorry, anthropomorphic animals. And one very, very strange-looking human. I'm just not getting the connection. But... Yeah, it just seems a bit crazy.
It's the same reason why they have their own versions of YouTube and Facebook and things like that. It's because it's a game where you have the opportunity to be creative, and you can, like, you know, you can make points and, if you want, be political in the game. And it's some kind of opportunity to express some kind of political opinion.
Hi, Tosha.
Whether or not... Sorry, Archie's just got back from a walk.
Perfect timing to break the recording.
He's very excited. He's back from a walk. It's like he's happy to be home.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes, Archie, yes. You're very cute. Go, hang out with Tosha. Alrighty, sorry. Back to the podcast. Fuck, what were we talking about? China being bad? That sounds very racist. The Chinese government.
Shitty farming simulator game being banned by China.
Yes, by the Chinese. China isn't bad. It's the tyrannical government over there that does tyrannical things. Because, the US never does anything.
Zach, can I confirm this? Because I've never played an Animal Crossing game, but I think I have the gist of it. It's a farming simulator, right? That's all it is. It's a farming sim, right?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, it's just... I mean, the entire concept doesn't make sense to me. So, I'm not the best person to talk to about with Animal Crossing because it just makes me glaze over. I feel like I'm just confused as to why this is popular. But I would have thought of all places in the world for this to be beneficial for the public, a farming simulator would probably be beneficial for China. They have a lot of farms in China. And it only romanticizes the idea of having a farm and farming. So for me, I would have thought it'd be a win-win for Chinese government. But
I honestly think just because it's popular and people have used it for protest, if it didn't get eyes on it, then they would never have cared enough to bother taking these actions at all. It's just because there's been articles written about people using it for the Hong Kong protests and whatnot. So because there's some kind of interest in it, it has to be quashed.
But Hong Kong protests have been on fucking everything because, you know, any media platform is a risk to Chinese government on the subject of that. So no games, no media, nothing. That sucks. I mean, that's pretty shitty. I'm sorry to hear that that's the situation.
Yeah. Well, look, let's move on to that, to something that, I don't know, makes me happy rather than something that sucks, like a story like that. And that is, we've got some details already on the DLC that will be coming for Cyberpunk 2077. That's right, a game that's not even released yet. It's not meant to be coming out till September, if it even does, with everything going on. We have DLC details for it. So this quick article written by Matt Kim out of IGN, Cyberpunk 2077 will receive additional DLC post-launch. Holy shit, who would have thought? Including a multiplayer mode. That's actually quite different. Like, I was not expecting multiplayer to be in Cyberpunk. It has been spoken about before, but I'm very curious to see what multiplayer is going to be like in a RPG. But anyway, during a recent investors call reviewing the company's most recent financial quarter, CD Projekt President Adam Kaczynski revealed additional details about Cyberpunk's DLC, including potential length and announcement window. As translated by IGN Poland, Kaczynski revealed that players can expect no less than Witcher 3 expansion size, considering that Blood and Wine and Hearts of Stone DLC combined to at around 40 hours of extra content, give or take. That's quite a bold statement. As for when players can expect an announcement for DLC, Kaczynski told investors expect a similar scenario that we had for The Witcher 3. So we could be seeing, like a smaller DLC come out like 6 months after, or, you know, not too long after the release of Cyberpunk 2077, and then a larger expansion later on down the track. And look, if they can keep the same quality that they did for Blood and Wine, which is probably my favorite game expansion I've ever fucking played, I fucking love that DLC. If anyone out there owns The Witcher, fucking play Blood and Wine. Like, it's so fucking good. So look, I know it's not the greatest when, like, considering the crunch that they're probably already going through, knowing that now they're probably crunching to get this DLC out at a reasonable time and the game's not even out yet. That's not great, but yeah. I'm glad to at least have this confirmed, even though it was probably already pretty much a guarantee this was going to happen.
I mean, what it tells me is that they're extremely confident in the game's success, the base game's success, for people to want to purchase a DLC afterwards. Because, you know, that requires additional time and investments pre-launch to be able to do that. So, like, they're very fucking confident, I'll give them that. I'm not particularly excited about the game at this point, so we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I definitely agree with you that CD Projekt Red is confident at the moment. Something about their demeanor with all their marketing with this game, there's a lot of just feels like them swinging their big dick around at this point. They released a game that they know was beloved and sold fucking gangbusters. And I fucking adore that game, but I think they're acting like a rock star already when essentially they've had one really massive hit. So if they can knock this one out of the park, then I feel like people are going to start looking at them more as like a Naughty Dog or a rock star or something like that. But Yeah, I guess it remains to be seen.
They'd look at it more like a Bethesda.
If they can nail it in like a future setting, like I'm gonna fucking cream myself over this game. If they can deliver on what they've shown, I'm fucking. It'll end up being my game of the year. I'm so Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, so you're super excited. Yeah.
Yeah, can't.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's important. That's important. It's important to look forward to things. I'm not looking forward to it. Don't patronize me.
Zach, no, you need something to look forward to in your pathetic life.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm saying it from a place of jealousy. I wish I had that. I'm not that excited. I don't have that much excitement over it. And I would like to be excited about something. You know, it's funny. When I was young, I'm gonna tangent here. When I was younger, when I was like, I think 12, 10 to 12, there was a game that I was really excited about coming out, on PlayStation. It was Final Fantasy 12, because I absolutely fucking loved Final Fantasy 10. And I was so excited about this game. I checked the website of that game, and websites were really, really shitty back then. But I checked it every day. I checked it for news and all of its sections. And I really loved the music on the background of it. So, like, I was already, you know, completely balls deep into this game before it even started. And then when it came out, it turned out being, like, not so great a game. So that was when my hope died with getting super excited about games.
Yeah.
No, so look, so there you go. So I'm a jaded fuck. I totally
understand that. I think any long-term gamer out there has been burnt at some point before. I think for me, maybe like something like Middle Earth: Shadow of War, or you know, Assassin's Creed Unity.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of games out there that have burnt people before. Watch Dogs as well too. But I've learned now to just look. Don't look at what the promise of the game is. Look at the developers who are doing it. So there's particular developers out there who, no matter what they make, I'm excited. And people like Naughty Dog or Rockstar, people like that, I'm always pumped to see a game from them. Insomniac, Rocksteady, I really like as well too. There's a lot of studios out there who I think put out a lot of hits. Sony Santa Monica after God of War. But yeah, for all that, then you have like, yeah, your Ubisofts and your EA. I think for the most time, you got to be very careful. And I agree. I don't think CD Projekt Red are quite in that tier yet. They did release one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. But we don't really know if they're going to be able to keep just knocking it out of the park over and over again. So yeah, I think there is a bit of a question mark on Cyberpunk 2077 for sure, but if they can keep the kind of detail and quality in their storytelling and gameplay that they did from The Witcher,
it'd be so fucking good. I agree with you fully there. The Witcher was great, but yeah, it's just I didn't see in the demo that they were showing. I didn't get you know, super excited about it. But I will tell you, you are right. There are companies where you think about them and you go, oh fuck yeah, you get a good vibe about them. And I used to feel that way about Bethesda and Blizzard. So you can see why I'm such a wounded lost soul. But there is a company I am excited about. So Larian Studios. I don't know if you've heard of them before, but they did the Divinity Original Sin games. And I absolutely loved them. They were so innovative of what they did, how they went about doing it. And the creative team behind it was so public in everything they did. They were all excited about their product. It was just an absolute joy sort of seeing and experiencing that. So they're doing Baldur's Gate 3. And I'm just so excited for that because I've already seen from the demos, I'm going to be getting more Divinity Original Sin. So like, I'm just fucking stoked.
Oh god, fucking A. That was some wonderful video game chat. That was fantastic. Exactly.
A little bit of positivity. It's just, you know, there's so much shit in the news. Fuck it. I just want to talk about something that I remember that was good.
Well, you know what? Put on your fucking tinfoil hat and be ready for an entertaining ride, because it's time to get conspiratorial on News to Reviews with another... God, it's happening every week at the moment. We have another Somebody's Leaking.
I've already thrown in two or three conspiracies this episode so far off the top of my head. So more conspiracies. Bring them on. I love them. It's great.
Oh, fuck. We're going to end up getting the reputation for the info wars of the gaming podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Certainly. They're putting chemicals in the water making the frickin' frogs gay. Alex Jones.
Gay frogs.
Oh, fucking Alex Jones. Well, look.
It is
conspiracy time. It's the conspiracy corner here on News to Reviews. And this one is around Cooking Mama. This article comes out of Silicon Era and was written by Lucas White. The story goes all the way back to August 2019 when Cincinnati-based publisher Planet Digital dropped a press release on a new Cooking Mama game. The weirdest part wasn't that the series' original developers seemingly had nothing to do with it. The actual weirdest part was the release's bizarre focus on blockchain. Screenshots and other materials occasionally trickled out in the meantime, including a YouTube trailer that was found in delisted format but never officially released. This is getting deep here, bro.
What are we fucking talking about? What?
My head's exploded. Illuminati level shit right here.
Cooking Mama is using blockchain technology. What?
Last week, Cooking Mama Cookstar did find its way to the Nintendo Switch eShop and to a few retailers around the world, but it just as quickly vanished from the eShop and nearly every retailer, with a few exceptions. The community was struggling to figure out what the heck happened, with some not convinced the game existed until some lucky fans showed proof of their copies. All the companies involved, however, went radio silent. Traces of Cookstar were even deleted from those involved, with web archives being the remaining evidence. According to this, Cookstar's blockchain structure might be using people's switches to mine cryptocurrency. There isn't any confirmation, but the game allegedly has supposedly made the Switch's network use go out of control and has caused overheating issues for some players as a result. Considering the weird press release that started all this, it's a strange series of circumstances. This is a press release.
All right, time to look up this company. I'm looking up the Cooking Mama company and seeing what's going on here.
So they basically just had a press release about how Cooking Mama was going to be blockchain powered. But I try to have a look at the tweets that were included in this article, and they have since been deleted. Anyway, there has been a tweet since from the official Cooking Mama account, which said, "We looked at these blockchain. We looked at these options as a means to allow players to trade in-game assets. However, we only explored the theory behind the concept, not the implementation. Cooking Mama Cookstar, nor any of our other titles in the past or near future, will utilize crypto technology." So, yeah, they've basically come out and said that this is all bullshit. And as stated in the article, yeah, there is no confirmation on any of this. There is no 100% evidence, but it's just been fascinating see the rabbit hole that everyone's gone down to be like, yeah, this company is using people's switches. And apparently they're also claiming that they're selling data of Switch users as well, too. I didn't want to go into too much of this. None of this has been confirmed yet. But using switches to mine cryptocurrency is just freaky to think that picking up this really cartoony and kid-friendly cooking game. I think it's a remake of an older cooking game. They're going to be using your child's switch to make sweet hard cold cash.
Well, Nintendo's its current publisher, so I don't think Nintendo would be too happy about them using Nintendo's machines and consumer base to steal cryptocurrency. Yeah, so that sounds a little bit far-fetched.
Was taken from the store.
Is that a cursory
or just a coincidence?
Mate, a cursory glance at looking this up on Wikipedia is that it was quickly pulled from sale due to a legal dispute. And that sounds... that makes a lot more sense to me. That makes a lot more sense to me than fucking Nintendo stealing cryptocurrency.
Maybe Nintendo is suing the developers for using Switches to mine cryptocurrency.
I'm just speculating here.
Please don't fucking sue me when I develop this game.
They're published by Nintendo. They're Nintendo's bitch. They wouldn't be doing that. And Nintendo wouldn't... Nintendo's already making a shit ton of money off its consumers. It doesn't need to steal money. Its business is working successfully. They don't need to resort to that.
I just think that's fantastic. So that's typical funny. Internet. I think everyone's just been cooped up a bit too much in this quarantine, and with a bit too much time on your hands, people start reading into things a little bit too much. There's a little bit of cursory stuff that might suggest that. It could have been blockchain, but yes, it's very common during legal disputes for companies to just remove pretty much anything they have related to that product. So,
I'm sure you're right, Lockie.
I'm sure you're on the ball with this one.
Well, at least according to this article that was linked from Wikipedia. So, you know, again, anyone can stick shit on Wikipedia, and it requires, you know, if it's not true, usually it gets taken down pretty quickly, but. Apparently it's an IP. This is from a developer who works from it. He says there's an IP dispute. So over the franchise and the franchise rights. So, how it got released seems to be a massive, it getting released at all was a massive fuck up apparently, because they hadn't resolved the, dispute at that point.
Fucking Christ.
And looking at the website, like when I was taking a look at all the publishers behind this game, I was thinking, who the fuck owns it? Who the fuck owns the rights to this game? So it's funny that immediately that is actually directly what this issue is all about, because I was reading this and there's like fucking 7 different publishers over the last 10 years. That's a lot of different publishers. Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to see any money from this game if they're spending years in court to figure out who has the right to fucking put their name on the fucking title. But look, anyway, let's move on to just a couple of really quick stories. No Man's Sky is getting an exomech update. I just thought that was pretty cool. It's available now, so if you have No Man's Sky, that is a free update. You now have usable mechs in the game. So now you have living spaceships in No Man's Sky as well as usable mechs. They just keep adding more and more to that game. It sounds like it might actually be worth playing now. I say that knowing full well that I own the game and it's on my PS4 and I just need to hit download if I want to play it. And every day I still choose not to, and I don't know why. There's too much good shit to play right now, I think. That's why. Probably once this quarantine lull in games we're going to have over June and stuff, maybe I'll give it a crack then. And the other quick bit of news is Google Stadia is now free for the next couple of months if you're in one of the 17 countries that Google Stadia is available and you have internet that's actually good enough to run it. So if you want to...
So not Australia.
Service, yeah, so not Australia. But yeah, if you're in another country, and, one of these 17 countries, you want to give a try of that service that people... have not really been too kind about. It's free for the next couple of months. Just make sure you're ready to hit end on that subscription before your subscription ends and they start charging you. That'll do us as far as our news for this week. So just quickly, I've got a quick correction to make. It was pointed out to me through a friend of the show, Roger, who if all goes according to plan, will be appearing on the show next week, which I'm very excited about that. But he pointed out to me that last week I did mention when speaking about the games coming out on PS Plus, One of the games I said Dirt Rally 4, it's actually Dirt Rally 2.0. It was Uncharted 4, and I clearly just, I fucked up there. So quick correction there for anyone who spent hours out of their day looking for Dirt Rally 4. It does not exist, people.
Yeah, actually, I've been meaning to bring that up with you. I've been looking for that for fucking hours since you said that piece of information, and I just... And Google didn't correct it for me. No, it kept searching. It said, "Do you want to see Dirt Bike Rally or whatever the fuck you were talking about 2 instead?" And I just went, "No, no." Zach said 4. It has to be 4. No. Yeah, oh, no. God. So well, I think
moving
I think everybody makes mistakes. I think everybody makes mistakes, and I think. I think people probably got the gist of what you were saying, which is good.
Yeah, I probably didn't need to do that to correction, but fuck it. I did.
No,
anyway.
So I think you were brave. I think it was very brave of you. I think you're a brave man. You're very brave. You're very noble. It shows that you're a man of character, and that you can make mistakes, but you own up to them.
Well, look, moving on to
games. You're a beautiful man. You're a beautiful man. I would like to sleep with you.
Moving on to games that actually do exist and did come out in the last week, there is a Disaster Report 4 Summer Memories came to PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC, getting some middling reviews, sitting at a 50 and 59 on Metacritic, respectively. Below.
Oh man, that's not middling. That's fucking bad.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all.
Yeah.
Below.
I mean, you're right in terms of being out of 100, it's middling, but to get that means you're a shit game. There's no ambiguity around that.
Yeah. Not.
No buy. Do not buy.
It's definitely not a great score. I've not played the game. I cannot vouch for these reviews. Below to PS4. Not familiar with that one. I'll have to check out what the fuck that is. And also, Final Fantasy VII Remake was officially released, as you know, if you listened to the episode last week.
Yes.
It was already pre-released in Australia and Europe. But now everyone can get their hands on Final Fantasy VII. But for now, I'm going to go get my hands on my penis and do a wee. And then we will come back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my eyebrows raised for a while. For a second there, I was like, "Where is he going with this?" Okay.
Yeah, I oversold that. I don't need both hands to do a wee. Who am I kidding? Calm down, mate.
All right, have your break.
But yeah, let's have a fucking break, and we'll get back to what the fuck we've been playing. I think I might kick things off as I have a couple of games to talk about this week in impressions. And the first one I'll talk about is the one teased earlier on in the show, and the game that has been sweeping social media and fucking consuming my life right now, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Now, this one I've been feeling some super strong FOMO. Brendan from The Hungry Gamers has been playing this, as well as Ali from that show as well too, Miss Ali Hart. All the Inconsolables, Roger from the Button Mash podcast, all playing this game, all having a wonderful time. Everyone at work, bar one person and me, did not own and be actively playing this game as well too.
Okay.
And the other person at work who wasn't playing it does not own a Switch, so that's their excuse. So finally, the FOMO is over. I downloaded it digitally from the eShop for $79.95. And I gotta say, so far, I've been pleasantly surprised. I think the thing that made me hold off so long was, one, I couldn't really afford to be buying it at the time, and Doom Eternal was definitely my priority, in my top three anticipated games for this year.
Yeah, fair call.
But fucking Animal... It's just... Those kinds of games just aren't my kind of... Those Life Sim or Farming Simulators, those kinds of games just aren't what gets me going, you know?
So you're speaking my language so far, but then you ended up buying it, so I'm curious.
Yeah, I think just all the stuff that are, all the content I'd heard around Animal Crossing, everything I heard, even the negatives around it.
Yeah.
None of it bothered me because it all just sounded so fucking lovely and wholesome, and Animal Crossing New Horizons definitely is that. Like, it's just this cute little farming island simulator where you're this freakish looking human,
mm-hmm.
Playing with all, like, hanging out with all these anthropomorphic animals who have all these weird quirky personalities and basically try and take you for everything you've got whilst trying to sound like they're helping you out. But yeah, it's also a capitalism simulator as well too.
Okay, so the animals are trying loans
and trying to pay him off.
So the animals are trying to deceive you.
Mainly just Tom Nook, I guess. He's enticing you with island life and then slyly throwing these massive loans at you, so you get into massive debt and you are his slave, though he never treats you that way. He's always very nice about it, but that's just how I treat that, because that's what everyone is who has a home loan, a slave to the bank. Oh god, fucking hell, what am I talking about right now?
I mean, yeah, it sounds very similar to real life, except that it's a farming simulator, so it sounds like it's really captured all the worst aspects of life. So I'm still trying to grapple why this game's good. Anyway,
I'm getting off track and I'm being silly. Basically, okay. I think why Animal Crossing is just hitting people so hard right now is because it's just a lovely, peaceful escape from reality. There's no real challenges in the game. Like, you can do everything at your own pace. The game encourages you to take your time by having like a real life clock in it. So basically, it's taken me a while for me to get my house built because you can't get it straight away. First, you got to place your tent. Then you got to get a bunch of crap for old Mr. Nookie Boy, old Tom Nook. And then you wait until the following day until your house is built. So it does things like that to artificially stretch the game length, I guess. But for here, it kind of works, because I feel like after a couple of hours, or like, you know, maybe 2-3 hours of Animal Crossing, I feel like I've sort of had my time with it anyway. And yeah, it's just been a lovely game to pick up and do the things I need to do that day to get my little bit of progression and see what new thing I can craft and whatnot. And I'm still early days. I haven't had the chance to start visiting some islands and doing some of the multiplayer. I did get the chance to try out the local multiplayer with a friend of the show, Torja. But unfortunately, the local multiplayer is not the greatest. After playing for like an hour or so, we pretty much agreed that, yeah, this is what I'm going to be playing solo, because pretty much all you can do as the other player is just pick up and mine certain resources, and then it goes to the recycle box, and that's it. And you, the only equipment you can have is equipment you already have selected. Not the greatest game for a second player to play as, but as far as the online goes, I don't know, but a lot of people are having a lot more fun with that as far as what I have seen. So yeah, look, so far the gameplay has come down to pretty much just chopping trees, doing a bit of fishing, digging holes, crafting things. And yeah, that's pretty much the loot, but it's just so peaceful and relaxing and charming. The music's like lovely and relaxing and charming. The graphics are cartoony and it all is just this wonderful rich tapestry that just comes together to make this lovely escape from reality right now. There's no COVID on my island, you know. There's no worries about that. As I said before, you don't have to worry about social distancing. And I think this game being such a big time sink, and everyone being locked up in quarantine, these two factors combined is what's made it such a cultural and commercial hit for right now. But yeah, look, does anything I'm saying right now make you want to play Animal Crossing New Horizons? You look like you're kind of just, you've lost interest at this point.
Yeah,
eyes have glazed over at this point.
Yeah, see, yeah, I have a very honest face. I'm not very good at hiding how I'm feeling. I gotta say, for me personally, it sounds like a terrible game, but I but that's the thing, like, you know, it's not my type of game, obviously. It's not going look, I will actually look at some gameplay videos because I'm curious to see, because it is insanely successful, people are enjoying it, and I don't want to take that away from people, so I am curious to see sort of where it's coming from. But from me, yep, I've never really enjoyed farming simulators. I've always found them a bit like a farming simulator, and that in my mind is not an idea of a good game. Which is ironic because I like other simulators, but they're a lot more exciting. Like Roller Coaster Simulator, you get to simulate roller coaster theme parks. You know, there's just a bit more than farming.
Yeah.
But I know it's fantasy farming, so you know, you could be farming porn gems on Planet Diamantia. Like, you know, I get it. There's fantasy elements there. I got nothing to say.
I think Animal Crossing New Horizons is a very slow and it's a long-term kind of game. So I think I'll just keep sort of checking in for a minute or two in the weeks to come to let you know what I think. And I don't know, when I'm comfortable and I think I've played enough to give it some kind of review, then I'll give my rating on it. But for now, look, if you're looking for something peaceful and relaxing and anything I say sounds interesting to you, check out some gameplay videos and, I don't know, maybe give it a crack. It is $79.95 on the Nintendo eShop, and I believe in store, that's Australian dollars, not US. I believe it's slightly cheap. It's, you know, I think it's like, what, $59.99 or something in the US. So it's, yeah, not the cheapest of investments if you just want to try it out. And even if you want to right now, it can be really difficult at the moment to get a physical copy, at least here in Australia it is. But yeah, I don't know, if anything sounds interesting to you, check out some videos and maybe give it a crack. But yeah, more on Animal Crossing New Horizons in the future. But for now, I want to know, what have you been playing this week, Lockie? I'm curious. You mentioned it quickly in our break, what you've been playing. I'm very curious to see your opinion.
Yeah, so this is I'm playing Mount and Blade 2, which otherwise known colloquially as Mount and Blade 2, Bannerlord. So yeah, I picked up, I mentioned it last week that I was going to give it a run because it looked pretty, it kind of looked like Dark Souls, but in a multiplayer massive arena type dealio. Yeah, so I picked up the pre-release on PC, and it is a pre-release. So, fair cop, it's not finished yet. The game, you know, the game has a bit of a way to go, from initial perspectives, but I don't want to be too hard on it because I've only sunk a couple of hours in this game, and you can tell straight off the bat, depending on whether you're playing multiplayer or single player for this game, are two entirely different beasts. The multiplayer is very much the PvP arena, and it's got a couple of different types where you can have teams of 5v5 where you're managing armies yourself, or you can play in a massive player unknown's battlegrounds, battle royale style, where you have 60v60 people sieging a castle or defending the castle from the siege. And the castle siege itself, the castle siege itself is pretty cool. So you've got not quite Dark Souls graphics, in my opinion. It looks okay, but it doesn't look great.
Okay, and that's funny you say that, because I already like the detail is great in Dark Souls games, but I don't think they have the greatest resolution and the greatest textures in those games.
Yeah.
So saying that it's worse looking than Dark Souls is not really a good sign for me. But I'm getting sort of vibes of For Honor, the game made by Ubisoft. Would you compare it to that?
Verona. I haven't played Verona before.
Sorry. I should pronounce that correctly. For Honor.
For Honor. Okay, so yeah, totally different. Verona. No, so I haven't heard of For Honor either. So, completely in the dark there. But yeah, I would say it's in some ways on par with Dark Souls, in some ways worse. And whether or not that's due to it being a pre-release and it's not quite there yet. They still got shit to do before, you know, they still got final polishes to do to sprinkle in. Maybe I don't have a powerful enough computer to handle, you know, the graphics on its ultra settings. Maybe that's what's going on. So I'm not going to judge it too harshly on that. Ultimately, when you're playing a pre-release game, you're not playing it for the amazing graphics. You're playing it for the actual gameplay, and, you know, whatever it's offering core has to keep you, you know, interested and excited for what's to come a year from now. And, only having a couple of hours in the game, I really didn't get enough time in the single player to get a feel for the single player. So I'm not going to judge it on that, but it looks like it's incredibly complex, whatever it is. And as soon as I saw it for 5 minutes, I'm like, I was just like, no to this mess. I just want to get into the fight, into a castle siege, and hack at some baddies like COD. Mm-hmm. And jumping into that, the experience, it's promising, is what I can say as initial. I've only sunk a couple of hours into this thing, but it's promising, but not, it doesn't feel great yet. It's hard to say with the gameplay mechanics. They have a very unique style with how they fight melee. So if you tilt your mouse slightly up before you hit, you'll hit from an upper angle. And if you tilt it to the left, you hit from a left angle, and you can defend and block in the same way. So there's sort of like a counter and reading your opponent component to it. And I think that's the core fighting mechanics. I haven't wrapped my head around it yet because I'm shit at blocking, and it seems like you have to get good at blocking to really make a good go of it. Me at the moment, I'm just having fun with a massive two-handed axe, just plowing through people half-assedly and, you know, mostly dying because I'm shit, and getting mowed down by archers.
This sounds a lot like For Honor. For Honor has a very similar combat system where
it's based around
attacking from different directions, and it's also a multiplayer, like siege type game. So let me just get this straight. During this siege, that's completely multiplayer. Like, you're not versing NPCs. You're like, it's one team's in the castle and it's of real people.
Yeah.
And the other team is
Correct. So it's 120 people.
Is it still really popular on Steam at the moment?
Yeah, it's massive, man. It's like the second played game on Steam at the moment. And that's why I had to pick it up. Seeing everyone move over from Dota playing this game. I'm like, okay, I have to check this out. Honestly, I think at the moment the concept is better than what we're actually getting currently. But actually, you know what? It's hard to say because I personally... I don't think Australians would get much quality gameplay to form an opinion about this game at this time, because they don't have an Australian server, which means we have to latch onto like North America and servers like that. And when you latch onto those servers, you're looking at 300 millisecond ping minimum, which means everything you're doing feels laggy, and that means you'll be shit at the game because everything you're doing is everything you're seeing is in the past. Everything you're doing is in the past. It's really hard to land things. So I think it's more just me experiencing the effects of a shitty lag rather than the game itself just not feeling very good with connecting with people. You know, when hits connect and that sort of thing. And it feels like shit from my perspective. But I think that's more because they're really not equipped for Aussie players really at this point in time.
It is crazy. It must really be striking a chord for a lot of people, because becoming number two on Steam is already a big feat. But this is a game that's still in beta, hasn't been fully released yet, and it cost what? It was like $90-something, you said, in Australian dollars.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. It's only like $69 at its max price, and they're on sale at the moment. Yeah, they're on sale at the moment. Still. Yeah.
PUBG was, I think, like around $30, and that became one of the best-selling games of all time. So for a game that's like more than double that price, that is pretty impressive that this many people are willing to put their money down to play a game that hasn't even had a full release yet. So I guess it'll be interesting to see what comes of this game and if it keeps being successful. So I guess I'm curious to see what your thoughts are going to be of this game in the future, and if it even does hold your attention as well too. Do you think you're going to wait maybe until they come up with an Australian server before you play some more? Or
yeah, I think, well, look, in multiplayer, yeah, I think I'm not going to stick around for that too long. I'm still going to give the main campaign a go, but at the moment, I've only played like an hour, but it feels like it feels very much in early beta or alpha stages, because it's most of the world still feels pretty empty, like just on the outset, and it doesn't feel it didn't feel like a proper game. It didn't feel like here's your cinematics, here's your introduction to the world. It just felt like, yep. Oh, okay, you're just thrown into it. It has a cool character creation screen and startup, I'll give it that, but like you don't feel like you're playing a finished game at this point. And so I don't know if I really want to play through the unfinished version. It's funny, I did it for Divinity 2 when it was in its pre-release. I played through the first part because that was pretty much polished and finished, the first section, and that was fucking great. And I don't think this is that. I think it's still got a long way to go before its proper release happens.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, anything left to say on Mount and Blade 2, the game going for the worst game title of 2020?
What? No, not at all. Fuck you. No, it's just because I sound really, really negative in how I'm describing it. What I'm saying is that the game...
No. What? I'm not saying it's going to be a terrible title. I'm saying it has the worst title of any game of 2020. Fucking Mount and Blade 2. Mountain Blade 2. Fucking stupid. Anyway,
I don't know.
Anything left to say?
I don't know. I thought Cooking Mama was a pretty shit name for a game, but... You know, I would have given that my pick. Even though the game's like a massive franchise and everyone seems to think they own the IP, Cookin' Mama. I thought it was a fucking terrible name.
I concur.
Yeah, well, look, anyway, tell me, I need to hear about your experiences in Final Fantasy, the one game that I actually do want to play that I have not been able to.
Okay, well, look, you'll be very happy to hear, Lockie, that since we have spoke last, Final Fantasy VII has become my main game right now. I know I've said I've spent a lot of time playing Animal Crossing New Horizons, but, you know, you are limited in that due to the real-life timer, so you can really only play, do anything meaningful for a couple of hours a day. So during this time when I have a lot of time to play games, I've been spending most of that playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think I'm about maybe like 12 hours in or something like that. And oh, God, I got to say, like I am going to get into a few negatives in this part of the impressions. But first off, I'll start with the positives. And as I said when I was talking about the demo, the combat certainly, it holds up. And when you get further on into the game, it just keeps getting more and more interesting. I have my first summon now. And my God, I won't spoil here because I think something like summons are something really cool to sort of experience in game for the first time, because, you know, they have their attacks and stuff they do and it all looks really flashy and interesting. But the first time I did my summon, I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. I get why people are into Final Fantasy. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And, the summons are great. And I now have control of three party members. So I've got Cloud, Barrett and Tifa, the fucking Japanese porn star, basically. Oh, I don't know if you've seen any footage of Final Fantasy VII Remake, but yes, Tifa is a fucking porn star, basically.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Wearing
excellent.
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Her tits are so big that her suspenders don't fit her properly. Like, her suspenders are like pushed outways because her tits are so massive. And her tits, I'm pretty sure, are bigger than her waist as well, too.
Oh, my God.
So
they're really trying to make you choose Tifa over Aerith this time around. Or is it Aerith? I don't know.
Well, look, fucking be very careful in what you say, because remember, I didn't play the original Final Fantasy, so I don't want to know any possible spoilers.
I'm not spoiling anything. Who you're romantically interested in, because... I
didn't even realize that there was like sort of it was going to lean either way. So this is, I'm very curious to see how this is going to go in the future now. But
you're playing a fantasy man in an RPG, and you've got these hot anime women following you around. I think it's safe to say that your it's a story and you're able to have some sort of emotional connection to these ladies. I don't know about physical.
Well, I think this is a very natural way to move on to my first negative about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
The weird romantic elements of the game that just feel so... I don't know. They really just tonally don't feel like they fit in the game. The interactions between the female characters and Cloud just make no sense. Like, Cloud has no personality at all. Cloud sucks. He's just your typical 90s brooding teen who just everything he says, I just think, fuck, I hate you. I hate you, Cloud. You suck. But for some reason, because he hates them and talks to them terribly, all the women love him. Because I guess he has a heart of gold or fucking whatever. I don't know.
It's because he's hot. That's the answer. It's because he's hot.
I guess so.
It's very close to real life. Real life logic. He has no personality or an abrasive one. Why are the girls like this guy so much? It's because he's hot. No way around it.
I found it so weird and awkward. Yeah. All these scenes. It just all of a sudden you go from having an intense action scene to all of a sudden it's like you're on this. It's like you're watching hentai. Imagine. I've never seen hentai before, but I imagine that's what hentai must look like.
I'll guarantee you, porn sites will be using the character models of this game in a lot of different, in that animated stuff.
Dude, I would 100% guarantee Tifa and every other character in this game has been Rule 34'd into the fucking dirt.
I saw, quick update, tenuous link to video games. I saw on Pornhub the other day in an ad. Pornhub. But I saw on Pornhub, the other day on an ad, the character from Jedi Fallen Order. Callum, what's his name? Callum?
What's his name? I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was like Callum or Calum or something. Cal. I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, I think Cal was his name. I think that was it. Yeah. Cal something. But anyway,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. They just took the character model of him, and so you got him naked in the ad, and I didn't click any further because I wasn't interested. I like real people. I don't like the computer. No matter how uncanny valley they are getting, I'm still not really into it. But you're seeing that sort of shit, and I thought, oh my god, that's so weird.
That's fair enough. Well, maybe Final Fantasy VII's gonna make you uncomfortable then, because these scenes just feel like straight up pornos, the way the women talk. It's not great.
Yeah.
And just tonally, the game's all over the place. Like, you know, one second you'll be in an intense action scene, then all of a sudden, you know, you're just having this really sweet conversation, to then you're having sequence.
Although that is a Final Fantasy game, so that's pretty true to its form.
Okay, so, well, someone who's new to Final Fantasy, it's all been a bit weird and jarring for me, but like,
that's fair enough. That's how I felt when I fucking first played my first Final Fantasy game. I was like, whoa, what is this? Final Fantasy X.
Continue with the negatives, like other weird little things. Like, there's certain levers that you have to pull, and for some reason they've made it a timed thing where you have to hold triangle, and then basically Cloud will put his hand on the lever and then wait a second for you to hold triangle, and then he'll pull the lever down, and it just looks fucking stupid. Like, I don't understand why they put that in the game rather than you just pressing triangle and he pulls the lever down. Or if you want it to take extra time, do something with the animation so that it makes sense why it's taking that extra time to pull the lever down. He just sits there and waits for you to hold triangle and then pulls the lever down. It just looks so dumb.
Okay.
These things are all little nitpicks. Like regardless of all these things, I'm fucking loving Final Fantasy VII. Like, I've probably enjoyed this more than any other JRPG I've ever played. Maybe excluding the OG Pokemon games. I don't know. Maybe I like Nier Automata better, but that was maybe more of an action game. I don't know. But Final Fantasy VII Remake so far, I'm fucking having a lot of fun with it. The combat, as I said, once you start unlocking more things, I'm getting the hang of utilizing all my different characters and starting to treat it more as a less as an action game and more as a blend of turn based and action, because you do have the option to slow down time a lot to sort of decide what you want to do, if you want to use a spell or if you want to assess the opponent that you're versing, so that you can figure out the easiest way and best way to take them down. There's a lot of strategy to every fight, and and managing all my resources. You if you're anything like me, maybe I'm just terrible at the game, you'll use a lot of potions, but they give you a lot of potions when you're playing, so I'm assuming that it's like intentional, you're supposed to use potions a lot whilst you're playing this game. But so far I've still got a long way to go. Like, apparently it's about 30 to 40 hours, something like that, so I'm only like a third of the way there, I think. But yeah, thus far, I'm having a lot of fun with it. As I said before, it all still stands. Give the demo a try. It's free. You have nothing to fucking lose. If you hate it, fine. You wasted an hour and 8 gigs to download it.
Mate, I don't have a PlayStation.
I'm not talking about you specifically, but the audience.
I'm talking for the audience who doesn't have a PlayStation. Mate, we don't have a PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Well, fucking, what are you doing with so many good games? Fair enough for anyone who doesn't want to fork out for a PlayStation. I totally understand that. But as I messaged to you earlier in the week, it is possibly coming to Xbox and PC in another year's time. So when all the hype's over and everyone's played it and no one cares anymore, yeah, you can play Final Fantasy VII. Yay. Lucky you.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking great game. Like, I think I'd really, really, really like this game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm even starting to get on board with the cheesy dialogue. It's all just fun, and I just sort of laugh at it and it all. And I'm even a little bit intrigued by the story at the moment. It's got me pretty gripped right now. So I won't get into any of the story here. I think it's better off just letting it unfold for anyone who wants to play. But yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake. If you're not into Final Fantasy, maybe give it a crack. But more on Final Fantasy VII Remake in the future. But for now, I think, unless you have another game to talk about, do you have anything else you'd like to talk about, Lockie?
No, I think we've covered a lot. I think the cow porn was pretty solid. So I think I'm going to leave it at that.
The cow porn was pretty solid. Nice. Okay, well, if you want to tell us what you think about the cow porn or anything else that we discussed in news to reviews,
honestly, I really don't. I don't want to know what you think about the cow porn. I really don't want to know. But like, you know, if you like it, great. But if you want to talk about it, tell your mum.
Yeah, sorry. Keep your thoughts on that to yourself. But anything else that you want to talk about, please send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on all of the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter is the best place to keep track of everything that we are doing. Our Twitter handle is @news2reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. But very happy Easter to everyone out there. I know it's a rough time for people right now. Everyone's stuck indoors and they just want to get outside, but you know, just you know, FaceTime your loved ones and yeah, just look after yourselves. It's try have a happy Easter. God, I'm rambling at this point. I don't know what the fuck I want to say.
All right, Zach said goodbye. I'm now saying, yeah, Zach said goodbye. He said his piece, so now I'm going to say my piece. Happy Eastmas. Stay safe. And I've got to go now because last time I saw my brother, he was trying to Lady and the Tramp my two dogs. So I want to check up on that situation, make sure that doesn't get out of control. Bye.
Oh, nice. Take care of yourselves, everyone, and take care of one another.
Oh.